got it in a minute.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. That song was by Pastor Marcus Renato. All right, from Lake Charles, Louisiana. But welcome to the talk show, Uplifting Communities, Louisiana. We got a special guest for you guys today, and we're going to have a good time with this guest. But before I go any further, I would like to bring on Louisiana host, Mr. Tommy Ray Cole.
Once again, we'd like to welcome you all to the Uplifting Community Talk Show, Louisiana. Welcome, everybody. Today we have a very, very, very special guest, Mr. Tony Ross, and he's excelling. And we want him to share with us some of his community work and what he's doing at the very moment. Now, Mr. Foster, we want to ask you to tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, first of all, I am from Lake Charles, Louisiana. I was born and raised in Lake Charles. I went to W.O. Boston High School, and then I joined the Marines way back in the day, as they say. And then I went to San Diego State University. And I decided to go and go back overseas, wound up playing basketball, and came back in 1985, opened my own dojo, and which was in Kempo and Shotokan, back in Lake Charles, back in 85, and that didn't work out so well. You know, a lot of people, you know, they want their kids to become black belts overnight, but then they didn't want to pay the bills. So
yeah.
I decided to go to San Diego, and then wound up going to a martial arts tournament there. And after the tournament, we wound up going to a comedy club. And, you know, I would always a little clown in school, you know, and telling jokes, those old Cajun Creole jokes. And the guy happened to hear me talking on the Monday evening at the comedy club and says, "Hey, man, where are you from?" And I told him where I was from and start telling the jokes and been doing comedy since, you know. Not only doing comedy, I think because of growing up so poor and giving back was part of my idea from way back, you know, helping other people as much as I could. Back in the day, I don't know if you all remember, Lake Charles, there was a place called Jake's Produce, and I would go and bag potatoes and be on a banana truck with this one guy, and we'd go and give the elderly folks and people who didn't have much to eat, we'd go give them some fruit and take care of that. So, but those are the things that have happened. And then I just decided to go ahead on them, do what I can to kind of give back by helping others. So that's basically how I am.
Awesome, awesome. We thank you for that. Now, also, too, we understand that you were a radio DJ here in Lake Charles, too, right?
Yes, I did. I worked for Ms. Blackwell for almost 12 years. She was an awesome lady, and the family took over, and they became very, very great to helping other people and inspired me to give back to the community more by helping with the school supply drives. And Ms. Blackwell, as a former Marine, she says, anybody got an idea on how we can help these kids a little bit better than just giving them a haircut? And I said, well, I'm going to get on top of this truck, and I'm not going to come down until it's full of school supplies. And she said, well, you know, like Red Fox said, "You big dummy, you gonna do what?" You know, but she was the one. She was the inspiration to me to do that, along with other folks. You know, all the other DJs and all the people at the station, and she was the one that started it all when it comes to school supply drives. You know, and I But what I want to do is continue to give back as much as I can. So,
I remember that when you was up on that billboard. Boy, you was up there for a while, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. That was one time I was up on that truck for about 2 days. I mean, so, and I tell you what, it was an experience, and I want to continue to do it. Although I'm no longer at the station, I support everybody that does it. And I tell you what, I actually want to encourage everyone. I actually want to encourage other folks to try to come together as opposed to just having one school drive. Everybody come together and just do it through the station, and that's what it's all about. Since she started it all, you know what I mean? So, So I want to continue on and inspire other folks, but it's just not about me. It's not about one individual. It's about those youngsters having an opportunity to better their lives and have the tools to have an education.
Amen. Very good. And boy, and it's a great work too. And the kids need that.
Oh yes. And also, it was the thing about people don't understand the thing about me getting on top of the truck. It wasn't about me, you know what I mean? It's about teaching men with children or even without children, you know, the grandfathers and the fathers, and just men in general to give back by sacrificing. And that's what I was doing. I was sacrificing my life in that heat, but I still wanted to continue on by doing it. But I encourage each and everybody to kind of do more to give back by doing that. Sacrifice not only your life, but your time and your funds, and just volunteer to do something. That's what it's all about.
That's right. When we work together, we can accomplish a lot. Now, I got one more question for you before we turn it back over to Mr. John L. Brown. Question is, what are you doing as of now, Mr. Brown?
Well, I've been blessed and fortunate enough after all the things that have happened to me over the past couple of years. You know, I was for the past 2 years, I've been auditioning and going through a process of preparing to play a role. I was actually going through earlier in a couple of years ago. They were auditioning about 15 people out of 400 people to play a role of John Elroy Sanford. And about 8 months ago, there was kind of like six of us left. And then it became three of us, and then two of us. And then they decided, the studio folks decided through the grace of God and just hard work, they chose me for the role to play Red Fox in two different projects, one being the movie itself about Red Fox, and also they're going to bring back Sanford and Son. So I've been blessed to do that. I'm actually on the West Coast now, and I've been getting some things together. Got just signed with a good manager and agency, and it's a long process, but I've been fortunate, and it has to be God. Only God can make that happen. And so I'm going to be doing that now, and I'm actually going through some things now. I've been doing some pre-taping, and I can't share too much into detail simply because it's an exclusivity agreement. But bottom line is it's going to happen, and I've been fortunate.
Awesome. Okay, Mr. John L. Brown.
Oh, yes. Oh, man, that's a blessing. I mean, a blessing for you to get a role like that. But also, I see that you did some entertainment over at the Comic View, Apollo Theater, Comedy Hour, BET.
Yes.
You was the BET Grandstand winner.
Oh yes. That was very exciting.
Man, I know for a fact that must have been really, really felt so good to you. You know, like you said, you know, coming from Louisiana, you know, living, struggling, you know what I'm saying, and trying to make things, you know, I mean, that must have been, you know, really, that made you, I know it got to have made you feel good.
Oh, not only feel good, but, you know, I had tears in my eyes, and I still do every now and then. I get emotional because knowing the things that I've gone through and still going through them, you know, it's a process to get this stuff done. But, you know, born of a poor boy, living with my mom, raising 9 children, 4 boys and 5 girls. And to what's the most exciting thing was being in New York at the Apollo Comedy Hour. Here I am in the Apollo Theater getting a standing ovation. And then a few months later, being on Comic View and winning my own half hour, that was great. It was a great James Avery. I don't know if you remember him. He's the one that played Uncle Phil on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. You know, they
right.
said they gave me one of the highest scores ever. And be on a national television show and then doing these movies that I've done before. But it's not about, and I don't want people to misunderstand it. It's not being braggadocious. It's just that knowing what you're going through in your life and realizing that you follow your dream, and I'm living my dream now. And I thank so many people. I wish I could name them all. But in particular, I want to thank Ms. Blackwell and her family. You know, people don't understand. You know, you always have differences, but they have been so supportive just recently of me. And I, of course, I thank God, you know, God in heaven. But I also want to thank Todd Guillory, just a number of folks, even folks like yourself, Mr. Brown. And it's ironic that you're speaking to a Brown, you know. But it just the fact that, yeah, I watch a lot of stuff that you have put on Facebook and Twitter and follow your show. And it's an inspiration to even your listeners. And I tell any youngster, anybody, if you have a dream, don't give up your dream. Keep God in your life, but don't give up your dream, because at my age, you know, I'm living my dream now. And I thank people so much for what they've done. You know, people even to this day still doing things to me to get this process done. And you never forget that. But also make sure that you stay grounded, stay humble, and be appreciative of every day in your life and do something to help others. You know what I mean? And that's what I'm so excited about. The Comic View stuff was great. The Apollo stuff was great. And I'm very grateful to all the producers and directors and the people that's given me a chance and opportunity to live my dream. But at the same time, you know, I thank my family, of course, and my true friends, and even the ones who didn't believe in me and didn't, because there were a number of folks who just as they say, them youngsters and even other people who were haters. But I can't blame them. You know what I mean? That's negative. I try to stay positive in life. I stay grounded and focus on nothing but positivity.
There you go. There
right.
Well, that negativity too comes along with that, you know, because some folks
yes.
don't agree with you.
That's right.
But hey, look,
you know, I wanted to back up a little bit about Ms. Blackwell. I remember when I was in Lake Charles, Louisiana. And, Miss, I went to the radio station where you was working. I think that was 104.9. And
yes.
Miss Blackwell, I talked with Miss Blackwell. Matter of fact, I think you interviewed me. But Miss Blackwell, she told me one thing, you know, and that was, she asked me a question first. She said, well, what you want to do? I said, well, Ms. Blackwell, what I want to do, I want to bring the communities together because we are divided. And she said, well, if you want to bring them, together, she said, but you can't quit. She said, you just keep on and keep on and keep on and keep on. Because, and that's what I did. I just kept on because I was promoting my documentary. And then 2 years ago, I decided to go ahead on and get a talk show. And the talk show is doing really good. So I got to give my props to Ms. Blackwell, too. Give Ms. Blackwell her props because she encouraged me also. She was a great lady, really.
Yes,
I just wanted to say that. You know, go ahead on, Tommy.
Yes, definitely. She's definitely well known and well loved, and she was a dear friend of mine too. I written a script at one time, and I asked her to read it for me, and we know how she talks, and boy, she's a strong and aggressive, and boy, she loves it.
I agree.
Bring me the script. She said, "Bring me the script. I'm gonna read it." You know, and I brought it to her and stuff. You know, she kind of read it, but we didn't get a chance to go any further because, you know, her time was ended. But I definitely love her and what she stands for. She has created
Hey, and another thing, I see you you open up for the Temptations. Which one of the Temptations you open up for?
I open for when Ollie Woodson and Melvin and Otis, before Melvin and Otis, I was at the Circle Star Theater in San Mateo, California, when I opened for the Temp then. I also opened up for the Dennis, I forgot his last name, Dennis Edwards, his version of it. He had a Temptations review. So it was a great opportunity because I met Melvin and Ollie Woodson before he passed, and they saw me in L.A., and they really, really was happy that they had a person that could not only do comedy but can do some clean comedy, and the folks can enjoy themselves. And at the Circus Star, I don't know if you know anything about the Circus Star Theater back in those days. It was one of those theaters where it would the band and the group would be on stage, and the stage would turn. That's why they call it the Circus Star. It actually turned. And that temp group was great. I've been having the opportunity to work with just a number of groups. Patti LaBelle. Actually, I opened for Patti LaBelle in our hometown of at the Civic Center, and B.B. King and Bobby Bland and James Brown, actually. So it was a fun experience, a rewarding experience, and the fact that I got paid. If you know anything about entertainment. Yeah. So sometimes you have these artists, and I tell all these guys to pay your dues. You're going to pay some dues, but to make sure you get some good representation. And I'm fortunate now that I'm learning, even now to this day, I'm learning about the process. There's a process you go through with performing so that you can have those opportunities to be with these major artists. You know, so I'm actually in Las Vegas now, and one of my friends is performing, and he got ill last night, so I may be taking his place tonight. His name is Ralphie May. He's a very famous comedian from Memphis, Tennessee. But he's got a 3-year contract with the Harris Casino here, and he found out I was in town working on some projects. So that's how God is, but the Temptations, going back to the Temptations, that was a very, very rewarding experience.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
Now we also notice too that you keep bringing the Lord in this here, so he played a major role in your life.
Yes, oh, no doubt about it, because if most people recall, you know, I suffered a injury when I was at the station, and I became so, I guess the devil was in me at that time, and I was blaming the wrong people, the wrong things, and ironically, you know, the station really was behind me 100%. And I became apologetic and became, you know, sometimes you lose things in your mind and your heart by other sources. And sometimes it's because of frustrations, because of guilt, because of a lot of negativity. And then I prayed. I got on my knees and I prayed. I prayed so hard. And God touched my heart and says, look, the same people that you're blaming for your fault is going to be the same people who's going to get you out of that situation. And it's ironic that that's happening as we speak, you know. So, but it's all about God, because I would never have made it through what I've made it through in my life if it wasn't for God. I mean, believe me, I could tell you, I made some mistakes in my life, and I've hit a lot of bumps on the road. And I'll tell you, those bumps became smooth ground for me now, you know what I mean? But it's got to be God. There's no other, nothing else could have made this happen without God.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, I have to say this here to the audience. You are listening at Uplifting Communities Talk Show, Louisiana, with our special guest, Tony Roster. You are listening at him live at his best. For those of you from Louisiana or Lake Charles, Louisiana, or around the United States that's listening in, you are listening at Mr. Tony Roster. Great man. Go ahead on, Tommy.
Now, Mr. Brown, do we have any folks called in? And now, if you called in, you have to press 1 to join in the conversation here. We will open up the lines for you to ask your questions or make your comments. Come on in.
And another thing, Tony, you know, there's a lot of young people out there that want to get into comedy and things of that nature. What would be a good suggestion that what you would give them to tap into to become a comedian?
Yes. Well, the first thing I want to express is to them that don't think, even with this thing with Red Fox or Richard Pryor, I can't go too much into the script of the film and the other parts of it. But if you want to be a comedian and you really desire to be a professional stand-up comic, do some writing. Write your own material and focus on positive, and don't just concentrate on the negative and all the profanity and all that, because that's not your punchline. The profanity is no longer this concept of Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy, that type of material. You can still be funny without having the curse, you know what I mean? But write. Always write. Write your material. Work on perfect one joke. It may take you years to perfect a 5-minute material. But once you get it together and keep writing and start finding an open mic comedy club somewhere or a comedy show, get on stage and perform. And don't get greedy, too. But be professional also and handle your business. You know, once you are getting booked and find yourself someone that believes in you. But you got to believe in yourself. There's no one can be on that stage but you. So and stay in your lane also, meaning that you let other people handle your business and you handle your craft, and that's what I'm working on now. You know, so, but in other words, you know, you can't do everything. There's other comics that try to book themselves, and I did it myself, you know, but now I'm in a position where what I need to have someone handle the business part of my career, and I just concentrate on the craft. You know what I mean? So. I won't let my manager tell me how to be funny, and I won't let him out tell him how to be my manager.
That's a really good suggestion.
Yes.
You know, and especially writing your own material. And the reason for that is some people try to tap into other people's jokes and mess it up. He just mess it up.
Exactly. But now, don't get me wrong. There are times when you're going to, there's other comics that you might do what they call stock material. Bernie Mac did it. Eddie Murphy did it. It's what they call stock material. But when you, like, no one can do the spicy Creole like the spicy Creole, and that's what I'm known as, Tony Royce of the spicy Creole. So, you know, I'm going to do my material, but at the same time, you know, you got to write. Write something that everybody has a niche. Everybody has a way of writing something that's indigenous to your culture, that's indigenous to your people, but also about you, who you are as a person. So that's basically what it is. Writing. You want to be a stand-up comic, you got to get on and find a place to perform. You can't just perform in front of your friends and they say, "Well, you're the funniest guy I've ever heard," and you get on stage and bomb. You know, when it means bomb, that means, you know, nobody gets to laugh, you know what I mean? And you become the joke.
Right. Now tell me something. Now, is it a college for comedians where a comedian can go to college, you know, and get a certificate or a degree? Is it a college for that?
It's called the streets. It's called the streets.
Yeah,
he's right. There's no college. There's no college for that. Just like the streets for life. You got life's experiences and all of that. But that's where you get to learn. But as far as a particular college, no, they have comedy workshops now. You can go to a comedy workshop and start working on your material and having someone guide you and how to teach you how to write. You know, some people don't even know, they're funny, but they don't know how to write their own material, you see, and I'll write it down. And that's one main thing a comedian should do. Anytime you think of something funny, get yourself something where you can record it. If you think of something funny, record it and take it from there. but because sometimes I used to do this, and I made the mistake of doing that. I would think of something real funny, and I forget what it was, how I came up with that part to be the punchline. You know what I mean? So you got to do that as well. But the main thing is, as far as answering your question about a comedy college, that's the first time I've ever been asked that before, and that's some funny stuff right there. I mean, that's good. I appreciate that because I'm going to put that in my act. Yes.
Well, you know, they got colleges for everything else, so why not a comedy college, you know?
That's almost like asking somebody, is there a cuckoo college? Is that
yeah.
Trying to be cuckoo.
Hey, look here. Yeah. Oh, boy, that was a good one. I like that one. You know, you're going to put that to stand up.
Now, also, too, Mr. Ron Sterp, when you're writing your material, do you find a quiet place, or are you going to write your material as you're moving along in life?
Well, I write jokes around my act. I have a set act. I have, like, several set acts. But what I do is make sure that I always try to perfect my jokes, at the same time adjust my material to the crowd, and also I make sure I have an opportunity to write something new, or that's something that's going on, like everybody knows what's going on with our new president, or whatever you want to call him. So I've got a lot of material. He's like, you know, he's a comedy heaven to all of us, you know. He's like, he writes it for us, you know. I mean, a lot of stuff that, and the thing about comedy, sometimes comedy comes from pain, not only pain that I experience, but from other people's pain. And sometimes laughter is medicine, and it gives you an opportunity, because things are so bad that you got to laugh at yourself and laugh at the situation because it's just so bad. You know, keep in mind there's a limit, and there's a thin line you don't cross, though. You know what I mean? And some comics will try to cross that line. You kind of look over and you see the waterfall, and you go, well, I'm going to jump in that water, but you don't know what you're going to hit once you get that water. But writing is really, really important. But then there are times too where you might – go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
Yeah. That's another thing. Speaking of thoughts, I'm at an age now where I got I don't have Alzheimer's. I got some timers. But what I was trying to say is that if you write a joke, make sure that joke is going to be funny, and you set up the main thing about writing a joke is you set up the foundation for the joke, just like you build a house. You don't build the walls and then the roof. You build a foundation, a firm foundation, and then that's the joke. And then you start writing around it, you know, funny things around the joke. You can think of anything and write something around it. When I won Comic View, it was the competition was so great that James Avery from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air says, look, we're going to give points on the best improvisation. And Cedric the Entertainer gave me this introduction to where I was not happy about it, but I improvised it. So a lot of improvisation is done on stage, too. But main thing with comedy is that you have a set material, and you know what you're going to talk about before you get on stage. You know, of course, you're going to have hecklers. You're going to have hecklers,
right.
But
okay.
Then I try to avoid hecklers. Hecklers are for other comedians. I don't deal with hecklers. I just do my show.
Right. Okay, well, we only have a minute and 20 seconds left on the show. Okay, time to go ahead on and close us out, but leave enough room so I can continue Pastor Marcus Leonardo's song.
Okay.
All right.
Now, once again, Mr. Tony Roster, we thank you ever so much for coming upon the Uplifting Community Talk Show Louisiana. We thank all our viewers. And Mr. Roster, if you would like to leave us with, we'd like for you to share that thought with us now.
Well, first thing I'd like to say is thank you, Uplifting Community Talk Show. Both of you have been great. I appreciate the invite. But the main thing is, tell the people, always smile, because the smile is the light on your face to let people know your heart is at home.
Amen. With that said, let's finish up the song.
Thank you, everybody.
Come on.
make the difference.
All right. With that said, good night, everyone.
Good night.